Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. This is the reading of God's word. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. As we hear your word, let our faith grow. We'll be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, through your word, let us see what your Son has done and who he is and what he has accomplished for us, so that we will have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, and that all of us who are hearing your word will understand correctly and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace upon us. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We started looking at this praise that Paul praises here, verse 15 through 20. And our Lord Jesus Christ, according to this praise, verse 15, he is the firstborn of all creation. And verse 18, he is the firstborn from the dead. We saw this last time, 2 weeks ago. Firstborn of all creation and firstborn from the dead. It means that he possesses all creation and he rules all creation. He possesses all those who are resurrected from the dead and he rules over them. Jesus Christ is preeminent over all things and all who are saved. We have concluded last time when we saw this passage that this is what it means when the Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation and the firstborn from the dead. Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity, is 100% God, being of one substance, the same substance with the Father, and he is equal in power and glory with the Father. As we saw last time, there are so many false teachings when it comes to Jesus Christ. Some say that Jesus Christ is a created God, that he is of a different substance with the Father, that he is inferior to the Father, that there was a time when he was not. And they use verse 15 to support their false views, and we saw how to refute that. One example of the people who teach this false doctrine is very popular even today, and they are the Jehovah's Witnesses. And there is this desire, at least one of you, for me to go deeper into their teaching. We just kind of touched it last time. So let's do that today. That's why we're only going to look at verse 15. See, John chapter 1, verse 1. I have NASB version, and it has that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Capital G, God. Jehovah's Witnesses' translation of the same verse goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So far, so good. But the last portion of that, they translated, and the word was a God, a small g God. And their reason, they say that in Greek, there is no definite article, the, that definite article before the word God. Thus, they say that it must be translated as a little g God, because there's no definite article. And it is true that there is no definite article before the word God. In Greek, the sentence goes, because in Greek, the word order is different from English, there's four letters in Greek. The word was God is laid out as God. That's the first word. God was the word. So this is how the Greek has it. God was the word. Now it is easy to see that the subject of this sentence is the word. The word was God. No problem there. So the sentence must be the word was God. Now there is what is called Colwell's rule in Greek grammar, which says, and this might be a little bit technical, so bear with me. It says that definite predicate nouns, which precedes the verb, usually lack the article. Now, a predicate nominative which precedes the verb cannot be translated as an indefinite solely because of the absence of the article. If the context suggests that the predicate is definite, then it should be translated as a definite noun. Now, you know, that might just, you might not understand what I'm saying. Let me explain a little bit more. A predicate noun, what is that? Or predicate nominative is a noun or noun phrase that renames or provides more information about the subject in the sentence. So the word God is predicate noun, which gives us additional information of the subject, which is the word. See, the word is the subject. And the was is the verb. And God is the predicate noun. So what it says is that if predicate noun is front of a verb, then even though it is definite, it will lack an article, the. That's the rule. Let me say that. Obviously, like I said, the word is the subject. God is the predicate noun providing more information of that subject, the word. Here in our case, God, the predicate noun, precedes the word, the verb, which is was. Colwell's rule applies here then. Because that's what that rule says. Jehovah's Witnesses acknowledge that the word here in the sentence refers to Jesus Christ. So up to that point, it's okay. But they are saying that the predicate noun, God, which provides more information about the subject, the word, lacks a different article. Thus, they say it must be translated, the word was a God. Small g. Here the word God, which is predicate noun, and it precedes the verb was, cannot be translated as indefinite solely because of the absence of the article. So Colwell's rule says that. So obviously, Jehovah's Witnesses, they just completely ignore this rule. when they translated this. Now, if we could show them then, if we could show them other verses that says, that say that Jesus is God, and the word God has a different article, then all their argument crumbles. See, what they're saying is that it has to be translated here because there's no different article front of God. So it has to be a God, small g. So if we could find other verses in the Bible that says that Jesus is God, but that the word God has a different article there, then according to their own argument, then they have to admit that Jesus is the God, big G, capital G. Simple. Well, such a verse is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, that phrase at the end, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that word, our God, that God word, if it has a different article, the God. See, in English, we don't, even if they have different article, we don't put the in front of God. But in Greek, that's how it is. So if we, in this case, if there's different article in front of God, that means that this verse affirms, according to their own argument, that Jesus Christ is our God, capital, you know, God and Savior. And guess what? Here, the word God has the different article of God. You see, here Colwell's rule doesn't apply because the word that God does not precede a verb. We don't see that here. So that rule doesn't apply. But here the word God has the different article. So they have to admit in this verse that Jesus is true God, creator God, capital G God. And yet, they don't care. They only argue from John chapter 1, verse 1. So you show them. Well, see, they have their own translation when they visit your house. So they will show you their translation. So, you know, even if you go to their English translation, you know, there's no different article in front of God here, but if you could show them with Greek Bible, it has. Think about it. Their whole argument is that the word God does not have different articles, so that Jesus is not the capital G God. But in other verses, it has. Well, let me show you another verse. John chapter 20, verse 23. John chapter 20, verse 23. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. The word order in Greek is this, the Lord my and the God my. So obviously here the word God has the different article, the. So when Thomas says to Jesus Christ, you know, my Lord and my God, he's saying, my the God. Again, referring to Jesus, Thomas says, my God, and there the word God has a different article. So JW, they must acknowledge that Jesus is God. Capital G God, not a little g God. And this according to their own argument. So don't be afraid to tackle these things with these kind of people. They're trying to deceive you. And because you don't know Greek, they think they could deceive you by bringing that Greek element into their argument. But man, they are deceiving. No, Bible clearly shows us that Jesus Christ is not a God, but is the true creator God, eternal God. There was not a time when Jesus was not. He was always there. I hope that kind of helped some, you know, that person, but I hope it helps all of you. Well, then, let us finish this verse 15, and that will be our sermon today. He is the image of the invisible God. And I'm so excited about this passage because this verse 15 through 20 here, it tells us of who Jesus is. And it's always a joy for us to learn about Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not saying that the other parts of the Bible doesn't teach about Christ, but it's concentrated here. Now, we have already looked at the phrase, the firstborn of all creation, so let's move on. So today's focus will be, he is the image of the invisible God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Jesus Christ is the image of invisible God. What does God telling us by saying that? That Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Now, God here is the God the Father. And according to this verse, he is invisible. And not only God the Father is invisible, but God the Son is invisible. And God the Holy Spirit is invisible because God is spirit. But God the Son, he became a man. And when we say he became a man, we're not saying that as he becomes a man, now he doesn't exist as God. No. It's like addition. He is fully God, but he adds, plus man. So Jesus Christ is fully God plus fully man. 100% God plus 100% man. So no subtraction whatsoever there. It's all addition. All right? So now Jesus, when we go to heaven, we will be able to see Jesus because he's a man. But at the same time, he's God. You know, he did not, as he ascends to heaven, he did not, from that point, did not exist as a man anymore. You know, only 33 years he becomes a man, and all of a sudden as he ascends into heaven, he is no longer man. No, that's not what Bible is teaching. He is forever man from the time of his inception. Forever man. So when you go to heaven, you will see man Jesus. But God, I don't know how we're going to see him. His spirit is invisible. I don't know. I don't know. Somehow when we resurrect, our eyes will change into some super eyes. I don't know what's going to happen there. But what I know fully is that we will see Jesus Christ as a man. We could hug him, we could touch him. He's a man. Now, but God is invisible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 says, who alone possesses, God alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Now, our verse says that Jesus is the image of God the Father. Another way of saying the same thing is that Jesus Christ has revealed God the Father, who is invisible, who cannot see. And Jesus has done this revealing perfectly. Jesus, who is of the same substance with the Father, thus he is also invisible, who we cannot see, has become a man and has revealed God the Father perfectly. And this is what John chapter 1 verse 14 and verse 18 says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory of as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Other translation says that Jesus, as he becomes a man, he declared the Father. Or he has explained the Father, or he has revealed the Father, or he made the Father known. You put all that together. Jesus shows you the Father perfectly because he is the image of the Father. Now Hebrews says it this way, chapter 1 verse 3-8, and Jesus is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Jesus is the very image of his substance, the exact imprint of God's very being. Jesus is express image of his person. Now, it is difficult for us to picture this. But we take what the word says at face value there. It all means that when you see Jesus, you see the Father. Because he is the image of the Father. And that's what it means. And we're not talking about physicalness of it. We're talking about who God is. His nature is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 says, Jesus Christ, who although he existed in the form of God, yes, he is fully God, but did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. See, Jesus is God, and he is of the same substance with the Father. He became a man and he has revealed the Father perfectly. John chapter 14 verse 9, Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father, show us the Father? Look at what Jesus is saying. He says that if you've seen me, then you have seen the Father. Because he is the image of the Father. He reveals the Father. He witnessed to us who God is, because he himself is God. See, God the Father and God the Son, they are 100% perfect, perfectly identical. Now, it's hard for us to fully understand this because there are, in this world, there is nothing that is like God. Even like two snowflakes, you look under the microscope, it's not the same. But Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they are exactly the same. And yet, they are distinct three persons. John chapter 12, verse 45, he who sees me sees the one who sent me. Jesus is the image of invisible God. So in order for you to know God, you got to know Jesus Christ. And that's how God reveals himself to us. Through Jesus Christ, he reveals himself to us so that we may know him through Christ. And that is the only way that he provides for us to know who God is through Jesus Christ. And he is the image of God. Don't try to understand these words or these phrases in terms of how the world understands things. But simply, you know, be like child and understand, oh, so he's the image of God. So if we see him, then we see God. If we know him, then we know God. See, this is how he wants us to understand. It is Jesus Christ. Now, second commandment prohibits us to make any image of God. Because any image that man makes is false image of the true God. Whatever you make as an image of God, you know that that is not God. So everything that men make will be false. So we don't do it. We try not to even imagine in our head, in your mind. That's why this you know, cartoons and all these things that shows God, especially Jesus, it's not good for you. And that image of Jesus Christ, you know, they draw Jesus. You know, I used to be a youth pastor for junior and high school people for a long time. And we had what is called VBS, right? Vacation Bible School. And every year there will be new material that will teach us during those 1 week, you know, vacation Bible school. And that material always had some kind of image of Jesus. And then one day, you know, I used to save those things. And one day I was looking at like, you know, 10, 20 of them. Like, and I realized, wait a minute, the image of Jesus, it changes every year. Long ago, the image of Jesus was he had a lamb he's carrying over his shoulder. So gentle and so, just gentle Jesus. 10 years later, he's a macho Jesus. Man, Jesus with muscles. Because the topic they're teaching is different every year. So Jesus changes. And having that kind of image stuck in your mind, that's not good for you. Because when you think of Jesus, you're going to think those pictures. No. That's why we only need His Word. And this is how we know Christ, through His Word. Why do you think that Jesus had to be muscle kind of guy? I mean, He could snap His finger and destroy the whole world. He doesn't need muscle to do that. He has a power of God. But they try to make Him in terms of worldly understanding. And all this kind of thing is not good for you. Because that is not how God wants us to know Jesus. See, He could have, you know, think about this. Jesus, rather than coming here 2,000 years ago, He could have just come here today. You know, why did He have to come 2,000 years ago? And if He really wanted us to have His picture, He could have come today and then give us, rather than the Bible, give us DVD. Or what do you have these days? I'm way, like, so behind when it comes to technology. But He could have done that, but that's not what He wanted. Because it's about faith. It's not about seeing. It's not about sight until Jesus comes back. Then it's all about sight. But until then, it's about faith. That's why He gave us His Word. No pictures, no DVD, nothing like that. And if God, you know, He knows everything, if He believed that picture will help us to know Christ better, He would have given it to us. He would do everything for our benefit. And yet, that's not what He did. God said in second command, do not make any image of God. Why? Because Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is the perfect image of God. Jesus Himself. So if you want to see God the Father, then you must see Christ. But even seeing Christ is not visible. It's through His Word. See, Jesus is the image of God. But here is the amazing grace of God, and I will end with this. See, when God created us in Genesis, God enables us to participate in Jesus being the true image of God. Because God created us in His image. Now, I told you a long time ago, everything that is true of Christ is true of us. Except that we are God. We're not God. We will never be gods. Even in this matter, that Jesus being the image of God, and the Bible clearly says that, don't you think that we have been created in His image, God's image? Don't you think that this has some relation? Of course it does. Of course there is a difference between Jesus being the image of God and us being created in God's image. Of course there's difference. And let me explain a little bit about that difference. God creating us in His image. Now, when we say God created us in the image of God, we're not really talking about in terms of physical image. Though, when we see Jesus Christ, we will be just like Jesus Christ. So, in that sense, a physical likeness, you could say it's included too. Because when Jesus comes, he will exist forever as a man plus God. So that ultimately, when we see him, we're going to be like him. So our physical appearance, that obviously is according to his image too. But traditionally, when we say that we are created in his image, we are talking about in terms of God's attributes. Now, God's attributes can be divided into two categories. Right? One, communicable attributes, and the other, non-communicable attributes. Communicable, communicate, right? These are God's attributes that God communicates to us, meaning that he shares with men. So some of God's attributes are given to man when God created man. So that man is now created in God's image. Now these communicable attributes, we're talking about justice, holiness, truth, wisdom, power, and goodness. Copying from the Shorter Catechism here. And non-communicable attributes, these are God's attributes that God does not share with man. Infinite. Obviously, we're not infinite, we're finite. I know it's getting a little bit hot, but I will finish very quick. Because that makes lots of noise. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable. These are the attributes that God does not share. So, when we say Jesus Christ is the image of God, that means Jesus Christ has all the attributes of God, communicable and incommunicable. But when Bible says God made man in his image, only communicable attributes are given. So, obviously, there's a difference when we say Jesus is the image of God and we are made in God's image. I hope that kind of clears things. And even when we have some of these attributes of God, but not in same quality nor same quantity. See, our wisdom, we have wisdom, God has wisdom, but our wisdom is not the same as God's wisdom. But isn't that amazing? That even God making us in God's image has something to do with Jesus Christ, who he is, that he is, and what he does, what he accomplishes, that he is the image of God. And this is what amazes me, that everything about me, if I want to understand clearly and correctly, I have to go to Jesus Christ. He is everything. And whatever doctrine that you're learning, whatever that is concerning the Bible, you got to go to Jesus to fully understand what the Bible is saying to you. Apart from Jesus Christ, it's not true. It's not Christian. The new creation, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Just as Jesus Christ as the image of God perfectly revealed God the Father, we who are recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ must witness Jesus Christ and every single moment becoming more and more like him. So you even understand what your life is all about in terms of Christ. See, Jesus Christ, even as he comes here, he becomes a man, and then he had to accomplish our salvation as a man.
But as he does that, he reveals Jesus, his Father. He reveals God the Father. Because he comes as the image of the God the Father. Which means that you and I, we have the same purpose. We are created in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And people whose Jesus' image is given, our job is to witness Jesus, to show Jesus Christ, to reveal Jesus Christ. And this is why God says, go to the ends of the world and be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, even as you share the gospel to non-believing world, you are witness in Christ. And just what you say, how you live, you're witnessing Jesus Christ. This is the purpose. You must understand this so that you may live that life that is clearly Christian. He is our life. And we'll stop here, but let's look from this next verse, verse 16, next time, and continue to learn about our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us know Jesus Christ, because only by knowing him that we will know who we are truly. Without knowing Christ, we will not even know who we are and what we are and what our life is all about. So pour out the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ that we may know him more and more. And Father, let us live for him. Let us love him. Let us bring glory and honor to him. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.